So 2 weeks ago, we were able to set out some of the general, a framework for learning Avodah Zarah, a framework for learning the beginning of Yerei Derech Chayav Beis, the Machal Yakum. And last week, we really began to jump into things. the opening topic, of course, in the Sugya and in the Siman, Sif Aleph, is the question of the conditions, which sorts of foods are bishalakim susceptible? What characteristics does a food have to have? What tanum does the food have to have in order for bishalakim to apply? And we saw the Gemara initially thinks that bishalakim is daraisa, based upon which the Gemara raises this idea of lo nishtana mi briyaso, that bishalakim only applies if the food has changed significantly from the natural state. And then the Gemara ultimately rejects the notion that it's daraisa, but says, no, it's all drabanan, cross mach de bialma. That's not a drasha gemura, that's not from the Yugam Mishatar drashas with him. It's going to generate a din daraisa. It's a din drabanan. Okay, we discussed a little bit last time what's driving the din drabanan. Pashta says that it's because of concern of chasnus, like so many of the other machal yakum. That's what Tosa says consistently, that's what Rashi says in the Mishnah. The Gemara on Lamed Vav doesn't explicitly mention Bishalakim, which perhaps is what drives Rashi over here to suggest that maybe it has something to do with a kashrus concern, either a direct kashrus concern, or as we discussed, maybe it's a sort of a long-term. You can get too comfortable, lead to chasnus, you get too comfortable, lead to ultimately eating something non-kosher. Be that as it may, if you read Rashi Kipshuto, certainly you understand the significance of Nishtana Mibriyaso, and indeed, as we saw, Rashi on Lamed Ches Amud Bey seems to quote Nishtana Mibriyaso as a relevant fact. Rabbi Nachanan, on the other hand, cuts it out. The Gemara goes on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph to raise two other conditions. One is Nechal Kamo Shuchai, and the other is Ola Al Shulchan Malachim. We saw the Rambam thinks that we're only going to pick one, but the vast majority of Rishonim assume, as Rabbeinu Tam writes in Tosas, that the second day includes the first day. We accept both. So we are makel. We're makel for these two conditions. That a food is only bishalakim susceptible if on the one hand it's eno nechal kamo shuchai, that before cooking it wasn't even edible. And then once you're done, not only is it edible, but it's all al shulchan malach. Again, in terms of this third point about the lo nishtana mibriyaso, so the Rashi and the Ran want to accept it, and Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis addresses that somewhat. The Ramah, rather. And Sif Beis addresses it perhaps somewhat. The Shach addresses it, and Sif Aleph. Lamaisa, we ignore it. We point out that there are those who seem to understand Rashba, maybe that it's not even. There's no shaila because maybe nishtanim v'riyaso is the equivalent of enonech alchar. Okay, be that as it may, halacha lo masa, what emerges is that there are, after all the dust settles, a food is bishul akum susceptible only if it meets these two criteria. On the one hand, it's inedible raw. On the other hand, once the nachri is done with it, it's not only edible, but it's ola al shulchan malachim. Then we began to get last time, we ended last time with beginning to get into some of the details of these two conditions, and we want to pick up with that now, talk some more about the details of these conditions, and then move to Sif and Beis and Gimel. So the last time we addressed at length the question of Osa Makom V'Osa Zman, that it would seem that both of these conditions, Nechal Chai and Ola Shulchan Lachem, it's not a permanent decision that was made 1,500, 2,000 years ago, at the time of the Takana of Bishlakim, Tosas, it's very ancient. Maybe it's even more than 2,000 years ago. The Shach says it. The Rambam, Rambam already says it. Rambam indicates it. If it's edible in that location. Yes, the halacha yidches. The Rambam writes, "Perek Yizayin halacha yidches." He says you have beans and lentils and so forth that the Nachrim cook and sell, it's a problem of Bishalakim b'makom sha'olin al shulchan malachim shumar peres, in a place where this is served on the royal table. And he says if there's a concern of non-kosher ingredients or non-kosher equipment, mishum giyule gayim, concerned non-kosher equipment, that's v'chal makom. In any place is also. You see, the Rambam is very clear that that depends. He says it more than once in this parak. The next halacha also. We'll get to the next halacha. It's about a different issue. So, hey, in the context of what he's talking about, he says, in this such is the case, is mutter, even b'makom shein ol shulchan lachem shumar peres, even a place where there is ol shulchan lachem, for other reasons, that particular situation, the way it was cooked, doesn't create bishlachim. So Rambam says this more than once, that it's taloi in the makom, the shach, as we saw, raises that, in terms of the change in the halachas of the mushrooms. Okay, so we spoke last time about a couple of examples about cranberries and so on and so forth. Sushi, maybe the fact that tuna is now eaten raw much more frequently than it was may or may not drive a heter for cooked or canned or grilled tuna because it's nechachat. Okay. Now, in terms of ol al shulchan lachem in particular, so a couple of points that come up plenty. The biggest question is the Queen of the Chazon Ish's line, but the Queen of England eating sardines. Right? This piece of the sugya is called. What does that mean? So the Chazon Ish is reported to have said, in terms of canned sardines. So canned sardines, so the canned foods are cooked in the can. The question is, I can see that they're sardines, because they still have the skin on. They're clearly sardines. Even if you're not worried about any other non-kosher ingredients, the question is, bishalakum. You have to have mashkiach involved in turning on the fire, whatever you need, whatever sort of Jewish participation you need with the cooking in order to avoid a bishalakum problem. Or you just say, no, sardines are not bishalakum sensitive. So the clearly they're not edible raw. No one's eating raw sardines, so it's not nechachai. The question is, ol shulchan lachem, sardines, ol shulchan lachem. So the Chazon Ish is reported to have said that, well, the Queen of England eats sardines for breakfast, and therefore sardines are a problem. Ol shulchan lachem. Well, what does that mean? What that means is she's not eating sardines at a state dinner. But the Queen of England, or maybe now the King of England, Rex Charles, he has to eat breakfast. He's a human being like anyone else. So the state dinner they're having with everyone else is going to be a certain Ramah. But breakfast, eat by yourself. I'm sure it's with great, great etiquette. I'm sure there's plenty of. Plenty of structure, but otherwise, for breakfast, we'll give if the queen likes sardines, she'll have sardines. So he says, look, the queen, that's all. She's the queen, she's eating sardines. The queen of England eats sardines for breakfast, and maybe that's a problem. But that's not so widely accepted. Most poskim assume not like the Chazon Ish, bein lahakel, bein lahachmer. Now, the sardines issue, if you're going to, he was saying a chumra. That the sardines are bishlakum susceptible. We would say the opposite we can make of it. But the truth is, the Chazon Ish is making an assumption which carries with it both chumras and kulas in the following sense. The Darkei Tshuva quotes, Darkei Tshuva is a Mishnah Berurah style, somewhat loosely patterned after the Mishnah Berurah, a likut on the first 100, she's first 200 simanim of Yerodeya, a likut of poskim. It's arranged on the page like Mishnah Berurah. It goes all the way through Hilchos Nida, quoting Tshuva's farm. So he quotes Rishonim, because Rishonim, because Achronim. So he quotes Rishonim, Darkei Tshuva, because Rishonim, who have the Nusach, Shulchan Malachim, O Shulchan Sarim. Doesn't have to, it's not about the king in particular, not about the queen. It's about, noblemen. Aristocratic eating. So it already sounds broader. And the truth is, you look at the Rambam, and you pointed out, David, you pointed last week? The Rambam, maybe it was Yehuda pointed out. So last week we saw that the Rambam separates Nechal Chai and Olo Shulchan Lachem. That's where we ended. That Nechal Chai, the Rambam seems to indicate it's really about that might be part of the definition. Rambam's definition of Bishul B'chol Torah Kula is that you're taking something inedible and making it edible. So that's sort of, this is what Bishul is. If it was Nechal Chai, it's not Bishul. That's how when he begins to define Bishul Akma, he starts by saying the Nachri cooked something, you cook something which isn't edible raw. But then he had said, okay, that's the definition of Bishul Akam. If the non-Jew did the Bishul himself, so an item that lends itself to Bishul, namely inedible raw, right, that's Bishul Akam. But then in Halachat HaZbav, you're going on to say, well, this concept that raised about Bishul Akam is limited. Limited to Embemet V'amurim if it's all Al Shulchan Malachim. He goes on to say, why? Why? If it's ain't all Shulchan Malachim, he says, because the reason for the Gzera was Chasnas. We're worried about what will follow if a Nachri can easily invite a Jew to join him for a meal. So he says, an item that people don't, that wouldn't be served on a royal table with bread, ain't adam is amen as chavera olah. Person wouldn't invite a friend over for that. It doesn't have social cachet.
So what should I do?
You're not going to invite a friend over and give him Kool-Aid and potatoes.
You should be more concerned that...
Invite someone over. You have to put something mechubad.
You forget about the scheme.
So Rambam is pointing out, as we said last time, okay? Nechal Chai sounds like it's a definition of Bishul. Ol Shulchan Lachem, it is Bishul, but if it's Ol Shulchan Lachem, it's a Bishul Akam that Chazal permitted because the Tamag there doesn't apply. The question, what do you mean the Tamag Zera doesn't apply? Anything that's not served on a royal table, I wouldn't invite a friend over? Really? Isn't there some daylight in between that? I wouldn't know. You're a nice guy. We're friends. I would invite you over. Doesn't mean that's fit for the royal table. Isn't that a much higher bar? That's a strange Rambam. So it sounds to the Rambam on the Perek Yizayin Lachat Hazvav that Ola Shulchan Lachem is an expression. Doesn't mean literally. It's not really about the king. It's about a socially significant food. Again, like the Dr. Chuba was saying, something that a food that is appropriate in a socially significant setting is the sort of food that could lead to significant mingling. Oh, Shulchan Lachem is an expression. Certainly, if it's served at the royal table, the state dinner is certainly good enough, but even a little bit less. So what emerges? First, let me tell you how this works practically. Supposedly, you know, I don't know if it's true. Supposedly, Rabbi Heinemann, Moshe Heinemann, the head of the Vod in Baltimore, Starkey, so supposedly decades ago, he sent a letter to, I think it was the royal chef of Denmark, to find out Sweden. One of the Scandinavian countries still has a king, to find out what's on the menu, what's on the royal menu. Along the lines of the Chazon Ish, assuming that it's actually totally in the king. If you look in the OU's Chuvas on Bishul Akam, and when they try to figure out if a given food is Ol Shulchan Lachem or not, they'll talk about, is it served at a wedding? Rabbanim are involved with kashrus and go to a lot of weddings professionally. So that's a good shidduch. So, for instance, the Torah, let's say, potato chips, not all Shulchan Lachem, but terra chips, you'll find terra chips on a classy crudité. Right? They'll be serving cut raw vegetables and dip and terra chips. You wouldn't have potato chips, Chas v'Shalom, but terra chips, they would. So potato chips, based on this, we'll come back in a moment to potato chips from a different angle. But often, potato chips are not all Shulchan Lachem, but terra chips are. I don't have to find out, if you don't hold like the Chazon Ish, if you hold like the Rambam Darkei Tshuva, I don't need to find out whether they serve it. There is no king of England. There is no king of America. That's the Chazon Ish. Does it even help to know what they serve at the Danish royal table or the British royal table? I'm in the United States. We have no king. And the king is unnecessary, because not really the king, it's just about a socially significant food. And that's what I was saying before. It's bein lahakel bein lahachmir. The Chazon Ish was assuming that's really totally in the king or the queen, the gavra. So on the one hand, that same Degasari sets a very high bar. On the other hand, anything the king or queen personally eats is going to be included. So we would say it's Bein Lahaka, Bein Lahachmar, it's not tali in the king or queen. That's just a way of saying socially significant food. So what the queen eats when no one's watching is irrelevant.
Let's see.
And on the other hand, you don't have to meet the bar of a state dinner. You have to meet the bar of a wedding, something that you, with which you would be mechaved, a guest, in a significant way. And therefore, as Rav says, that's the situation when the concern of chasness is real. What's served at the state dinner is irrelevant. And what the king or queen is personally seems entirely irrelevant. So that's the machlokes. Again, the chasnish, that was chasnish's opinion. Queen of England eats sardines for breakfast. But the Rav HaPoskim disagree with the chasnish and supposedly Rabbi Heinemann. So that's one. That's one major issue.
Why don't you say this?
Is the Rishonim mentioned the Gzeira because of chasnas.
Right.
Where in the Gemara is chasnas mentioned?
Yes, the chasnas appears on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Lamed Vav Amud Beis opens near the top with a list of items that Chazal forbade because of Binoseihem.
Am I asked at all?
Because of chasnas, and perhaps even bigger picture, the Gemara says is a concern of converting out to another religion, of avodah zarah. Then over the course, and the Gemara deals with that. Gemara deals with the issur of intermarriage over the course of long days. Later on, the Gemara gets to the issue of yichud between Jews and non-Jews. Now, so you have there the pas and yayin and shemen. What's intriguing is the Gemara doesn't explicitly say shlakos or bishul. So that perhaps it creates a space for Rashi to say, no, bishul is different. Okay. The pasha says that bishul also fits into that category. And bishul is between pas, again as Tosis had pointed out, pas is the lowest degree of risk. Bread is the least socially significant food in that list. Yain is probably the most concerned. Pas and shemen are least concerned. Yain is the most concerned. Bishul is somewhere in between. So probably Rov Rishonim would say, you know, we gave you the whole sandwich. Obviously, bishul is in between.
So is it possible that Gemara is putting two and two together? Or the Rambam is putting two and two together? That the idea of sometimes all shulchan aruch would be something. It has to be somebody that would then potentially.
So that's a good point.
The rich person, you see, this guy has good food on his table. Maybe marriage, you're more likely to. But if that guy serves leftovers or dog food, I'm not going to
mind. The nicer the food, the more attractive the situation. That could be. And you're also saying something else was important, which is the Gemara left out shlakos on Lama Vava Beis. So how do you know the bishul is included? So you could just say, well, everything else in the Mishnah, but not everything else in the Mishnah. Chalav is not. Yeah. So you're saying the way the Rambam read Ola Shulchan Malachim, the very fact that Ola Shulchan Malachim is a relevant factor, that bespeaks the concern of chasnas, because where Ola Shulchan Malachim come from? Nechachai, that's part of the definition of bishul. But why are we limited to Ola Shulchan Malachim? The answer is chasnas. Interesting. Maybe even that was a machlokas sura pumbedisa. We passed and that means we're accepting chasnas. Sura either held it wasn't because of chasnas, maybe, or the hell it is because of chasnas, but it's low plug.
They held it more because of bishul.
Maybe.
So chai is not bishul.
Right.
So how can you include chai if it's not, if it's something that can be eaten?
That's fundamental.
It's fundamental.
So he's
another issue in terms of Ola Shulchan Malachim is whether it depends on. There are poskim who say. There are poskim who say that. Here's a question. Do you look at the second of three questions? Well, the first of three questions about Osho Chalachim was woven by Melech. The second question is, what are we asking this question about? In other words, when we talk about Nechal Chai, clearly we're talking about this type of food, not this particular dish, because whatever you end up making the carrots into, whether you end up boil them with the honey making simmons, you end up grilling them or whatever it is, but or you end up making carrot soup. But it starts, Nechal Chai is about the before. Osho Chalach is about the after. So obviously, when I ask, asking whether carrots are Nechal Chai or not is the identical question regardless of whether I'm asking about simmons or grilled carrots or carrot soup. Because Nechal Chai is but the raw ingredient, raw carrots. So clearly, that's a question. Nechal Chai is a characteristic of the min of carrots. So the post can raise the question, but how about all Shulchan Lachem? Is that about the min or the specific dish? In other words, I'll give an example. It's mentioned before that potato chips is an open question. Why are potato chips an open question? You don't serve potato chips, they're not all Shulchan Lachem.
I don't have the money, I can't pay.
True. Potato chips are not all Shulchan Lachem, but potatoes are. Baked potato, creamed potato. There are plenty of presentations of potato that are certainly, that would be served at a wedding and would probably even be served at literally the royal table. So there are posts who say, potatoes are all Shulchan Lachem. So all potato products are problematic. So there are those who say that. Again, Nechal Chai, clearly, it's we just want to know, are potatoes edible raw? And the answer is, in our society, no. But the Pashas, Rova post can assume that for very logical reasons, these two conditions are different, and all Shulchan Lachem has to do with this particular dish. And again, come back to the Rambam. All Shulchan Lachem is a svara. Are you making a socially significant, is it attractive presentation? So if I serve you steak fries, if I serve you cream potato, yeah, so that's a socially significant dish. If I serve you French fries, certainly if I serve you, canned boiled potatoes, or I serve you potato chips, that's not. There is no concern of chasnas. So that's the pashas. Again, that second question about second part of Osho Chalachem, Rova Post can assume that Osho Chalachem is determined by the particular tamchur, the particular dish, the particular presentation, not the min. Not does potato have potential to make the royal table, there's not a karpas question. Is this particular presentation, this particular dish, is it socially attractive or not? And then finally, the third major question in the details of Osho Chalachem, aside from the general question of Bosom Akum Osozman is all Shulchan Malachim how? The Gemara had said, Nechal Shulchan Malachim lilapes bo es hapas, to serve on bread. To serve on bread. That's very specific. It would be served on bread at the royal table. What does that mean? As opposed to what? So some Rishonim say, served on bread or lipar peres as a side, not on the bread. And either one is included. The Rambam, Halacha Tezvah, when he initially introduces this din, he says,
when you have a contract,
that
we're assuming, let me ask this question.
More than once he says it. But on the other hand, later on, you turn the page, Halacha Yuches, when he talks about the beans and the other kidneys, legumes, pulim, adashim, afunim, peas, beans, lentils.
Let's make a deal.
He says it's going to be a problem. Bishlachim b'makom shol hashulchan lachem mishum parperas, in a place where they will be served at the royal table as a side. In other words, you don't eat. Most people aren't. You're not serving beans on bread. That's not a great necessarily a great combination. But you would serve it independently. It's not a piece of meat that you would serve on bread. It's something you would serve independently as a side. And I believe the Ritva gets involved in this. So here too, most Rishonim, the Rishonim who said it has to be dafka pas mamish, the most Rishonim assume, even if it's not the sort of thing that that's eaten on bread. But the point of is that it's at a seuda. That's what at a seuda, whether it's literally on bread or not. And one of the riyas that they bring is the following. And the Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph gives the cases that are a chiluk between Surah and Pumbedisa. My benayu, ikke benayu, dagen katanim, ardi v'daisa, small fish, which are teeny tiny fish, which aren't presentable. They're inedible raw, but not all shalchem lachem. Not sure that says about herring. Okay, I love herring too, but it's not all shalchem lachem. Although nowadays herring is, the last couple of years, herring I think has got taken a big step up in terms of the class. All the fancy herrings, new brands, and RD, that's the mushrooms that we spoke about last time. The shach said, okay, but now they are all shulchan lachem. And daisa. Daisa.
The fact that it fell.
Daisa is hot cereal. It's a hot cereal. Question, what does that mean? Hot cereal, anyway, even if it was socially significant, you wouldn't.
Are you walking around with it? No, it's in your.
You wouldn't put that on bread.
So the fact that you lost.
You wouldn't put that on bread.
A little bit
so the question is, that's what the Gemara is saying. It's not all. The Gemara elsewhere makes a comment that Bavloi Tipshoi. They thought that some of the people in Babel were very boorish, that they would eat cereal sandwiches. That's foolish. They're foolish Babylonians. They eat bread on bread. Right? Take hot oatmeal, whatever, hot cereal, farina. You make a farina sandwich. This is ridiculous. Bread with bread, it's a bread sandwich. So at some point after recently, pasta pizza. Okay, so it's also a Bavloi Tipshei. Okay, again, the people in Bavel ate daisa sandwiches. We think that's a little bit silly. So the question, what do you mean, so daisa? How would daisa fit in? Now, so the two is reading the Gemara. That's exactly the point. That's why it's not all shulchan lechal b'sapas. You don't eat on bread. Or you say no. It doesn't actually have to pass. The point is, hot cereal is not very classy. But fundamentally, pasta, linguine, maybe is. So that's how we assume. Here too, Rabbi Postum assumed that pasta is lavdafka, parparis is also. If it's to be served as a main, as a side, on bread, again, but Kubas HaTalmud, the main was usually served on bread. They ate everything in pizzas. That's a stack of lafas. Supposedly there are places in the Middle East, Ayyam Azeh. You go to some of the smaller villages, and supper or lunch is a stack of lafas and dips, and
Right. If you go to the shuk, there's some places in the Ben Yehuda shuk that
have. You eat a whole meal like that.
Everything is served just on
bread. On bread, right.
If you order something, it's automatic, given with a lafa.
Right. So that's why the main is referred to as Ol HaPas. But again, most post-Kum assume, as the Rambam does, the Basel of Dafka, something that serves as a side without bread also. The Parparis is also Ol Shulchan Lachem. So that's why pasta is a Bishul Akum problem. So what emerges, so again, having discussed the two conditions, and having discussed the question of Bosom Akum Osozma, and then these three specifics about Ol Shulchan Lachem, about what do we mean by Melech, and Min versus Tamchoy, and Pasar versus Paparas. So what emerges is, practically speaking, that all you have is these charts, hundreds, maybe thousands of foods, and whether or not the Bishul Akum is susceptible and why. And the first two columns of yes or no are Ol Shulchan Lachem and Nechal Chayim Ol Shulchan Lachem. What emerges is that there are basically five, Bizman Azeh, there are five categories of foods that are Bishul Akum susceptible.
What the Lobe is saying is, listen, I got six properties, I'm doing a project.
Meat,
fish,
Alpi Pashtas, steak tartare. People eat steak tartare, but it's a relatively uncommon. We'll talk about uncommonly raw. That's going to come at the end of the siman. It's sif tezvav. That's necha de'adchak. Sushi also, it's not clear. I think we talked about this last time. there are people who enjoy sushi, but the question is what percentage of the population? There's enough of a percentage to maintain the market.
Look at the star.
The type of star.
It's like
real star.
The mark.
Rare, right.
It's
absolutely raw.
Skin, it's like a thin piece of raw meat.
Yeah. So these, post are hesitant to say that meat or fish should be nechavai. So meat, number one. Number two, meat including poultry. Number two is fish. Number three would be eggs. Eggs are, there are plenty of presentations of eggs that could definitely be served at a very nice affair. And they're inedible raw. Again, eggnog is not common enough to make eggs nachachai. And number four would be grain-based products. We're going to have to tighten that soon. So but not bread. We'll come to that soon. But something like pasta is going to be a problem. And the number five are certain vegetables. There are many vegetables, and as we said, there are many more vegetables that are eaten raw nowadays than 100, 150 years ago. But there's still, we eat raw carrots, we eat raw cabbage, we eat raw celery. But there still are a number of vegetables that we would not eat raw, like potatoes, like eggplants, like certain types of squash. Some types of squash are eaten raw. A nice crudité may have some types of zucchini, raw zucchini, but I don't think people, I think there are very few people who would eat raw acorn squash, or raw butternut squash, or raw pumpkin. Because the winter squashes are much heavier and thicker. They're not like zucchini. So those, those are the five, meat, fish, eggs. Right. Non-bread grain products, and and certain vegetables. Those are the zones where you have to be concerned about bishlak. So that's sifal. So the basic conditions. Then in sifin beis and gimel, Rishonim raised a question based on the Gemara. What do you do when you have a multi-ingredient food? A single ingredient is back to one of the newest health fads. The single ingredient food, single ingredient tzvina. Okay, but most foods are not single ingredient. So what do you do when you have a recipe? So when you have pizza, so how do you handle pizza? So the dough is pas, a separate category of the gum, right? But you have cheese, you have tomato. Cheese, I'll be cautious, is not bishlak in the sense of herbal raw. Tomatoes are not a herbal raw. So you have tomato sauce has onions in it. How about if the pizza has toppings? So if they have, in other words, do I have to make sure that a Jew turns on the fire in the pizza oven? If you have a non-Jew who's putting the pizza in and out of the oven. So if he put it on canned mushrooms, so those are pre-cooked. But let's say he's slicing on eggplant. Slicing on zucchini, slicing on broccoli. So broccoli is edible raw, maybe. The zucchini is edible raw, maybe. The eggplant is not. So he put. So now what? So where does that leave me? Where does that leave me? So the discussion begins with this Gemara Lamed Ches Siman Aleph. The next Gemara.
I think what he's saying is we're back to the same answer.
The Gemara makes a comment
that once it falls,
Amar Vasim Rav, Dagum Ketan Meluchah, Hebe Meshum Bishuleyak. Small salted fish, Tosa says it's medium sized fish, because we just said the line before that really small fish are not all so chalach. It is not, so the teeny tiny, the answer is like the tiny ones, it's like not Mechubah. Maybe you're talking something a little bigger, maybe talk about herring. Maybe herring is mid-sized. So if it's already salted, that's what Rishonim explains. It's already salted. So even if I'm going to, the nachar is going to take the herring and, you know, I don't know, dip it in batter and fry it or something, but you could have eaten it as it was, just straight out of the jar. Yosef says, but if the nachri did grill the herring, or did batter fry the herring, so a Jew could rely on it for bishalach for erev tavshilin. That's a chal. In other words, it's still considered to be a ma'aseh bishal. Maybe fly in the face of the Rambam a little bit. Kzir to Yemayis Abishol, it's just, it's here's the irony. The Nachri cooked it. But it was kosher. It counts as cooking, but it's kosher. Because it's Nachal Chai, and therefore it's not a Bishol Akim problem, but it was a Bishol, and therefore I could use that for my Erev Tavshilin when a Yanta goes into Shabbos. Then, he had Dino Akim Kosel Daharsina, if a non-Jew, talking about a different type of fish product. The non-Jew made Kosel Daharsina. Harsina is fish brine, or fish gel. So if he made fish patties, made fish patties or fish kugel, and what was the recipe? Flour and harsina, fish brine, that gel, I think. You get jarred. Garbage filterfish, right? So there are those who see the gel as a necessary evil that has to be drained out, and there are those who are excited about the gel. So let's say you take that gel and you mix it with flour. You whip it up together and you fry it. Fish patties. Or fish gel patties. So, yeah, some people think that psha is not fit for human consumption, and some people think that psha is a delicacy. Okay. So the mice say, because it's kasa da harsana, this fish patty or this fish gel patty, so is that, if the nachri, if the Jew made it, it's fine. Again, you may or may not want to eat it, but if a non-Jew made it, so then it's awesome. Bishalak, of course, is pshita, of course. You weren't going to eat the brine straight. You only eat it because you mixed it with flour and baked it or cooked it or fried it. So it's not nechal chai. So it says, no, but now the tema harsin ikr, kamashwan, kimcha ikr. Here you have a blend. I have a food that's a blend of the harsana and the flour. So the question is, so the Gemara says, I said something incorrect before. The harsana, I said wrong. The brine people would have straight. Take it up. You would eat the brine straight. After all, some people eat the gel straight out of the jar. I don't understand it, but there you have it. Facts are facts. The facts don't care about my feelings. They care about his feelings. So he eats the gel. So the gel is nechal chai, but flour is not nechal chai. So here you have a blend of an ingredient which is not bishul akum sensitive, the harsana, and an ingredient which is bishul akum sensitive, the flour. So what do you do with that? So the Gemara says that the question is which one is the ikker. Whichever one is the ikker, that's the one that's going to determine the status of the item. So if he would have said that the ikker is a harsana, the gel, so then the whole thing would be mutter. But since the reason why it's aser is because that's an incorrect assessment. Versus the correct assessment is that the ikker is the kamach, and kamach, as I said before, is on a list of five foods. Kamach is bishul akum sensitive. If you don't eat raw flour, and you don't eat, once you mix the flour in, you wouldn't eat it raw. So b'meila, it's a bishul akum problem. Okay.
So then, therefore, pizza is never.
Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says sif beis. Irav davar nechal kmo shulchai, midavar sheyem nechal kmo shulchai, ubishlam ha'akam. If a blend of different ingredients, and the nachri cooks all together, or bakes it, or fries it. So the question is, what's the ikr? I mean, ikr midavar sheyem nechal kmo shulchai, asr, v'mo'av motor, shek, he quotes the Gemara. I believe that's the language of the Rambam, quoting, or the Rashba maybe, quoting the Gemara. Then Tosus raises, Tosus, here is very brief. Tosa says, let me give you another example. Mikanai Rabbeinu Tam, Matir, the Matre Pionis, the first one, the second one is the Ublis. I said, put that on the chat earlier today, if you were taking a look. Ublis was a medieval French word. I did a little bit of research for waffles. For waffles. There was an article, I shared an article from the Smithsonian. That they have these very, very elaborate medieval waffle makers. These two, say that, nowadays we're boring. They just have a rectangular square grid. That is elaborately designed, intricately carved metal plates that will go together, and you end up with these waffles and all these pictures. Some of them were religious, those are pictures, or whatever. Landscape scenes, what have you. So, so that the term O U B L I.E., I believe. Uble, or ubles. So Rabbeinu Tam was makel that you're allowed to have non-Jewish waffles. Assuming the ingredients are kosher, assuming you can determine the ingredients are kosher, and la'olsim she'in azar n'pashal akum. It's a pas, it's pas. It's a type of bread. So, again, we're not on kufi beis, but there's a lot of discussion about whether pas akum, to what extent pas akum applies. So if you assume that pas akum largely does not apply, meaning that pas akum is only aser, that pas akum l'bizman hazeh is only an easter if you get it from a private kitchen. But if it's baker's bread is mutter, so if there's a baker in town, the restaurant in town is making waffles, so Rabbeinu Tam says, fine. What's the concern? He says, we're not worried about the blood. And they made it with eggs, eggos, even before the term. Waffles were always egg-heavy items. So he says, we're not worried about the kasha of the eggs. Mistama, they don't have, there's no blood, and we don't have the opportunity to check. If you're making eggs and you have the opportunity to check, then you check. If you can't check, then you rely on the rove. If you have hard-boiled eggs, you rely on the rove. He says, here too. The nachar already cracked the eggs. We didn't have the chance to check. So you rely on the rove. Rove eggs don't have blood. In terms of Beitzei of Tame, he says that there weren't non-kosher eggs from non-kosher species were not really a part of the local cuisine. So the overwhelming rove is that the eggs that they used were chicken eggs, duck eggs, not non-kosher eggs. And the imish from Bishol Akum, kimcha ikir v'havikim opas. And then Toskot in the Tam, it's true that there are eggs, and eggs are Bishol Akum, even if they're kosher eggs, but they're Bishol Akum sensitive. Yeah. So if the Nachri made an omelet, that's a problem. But if the Nachri made waffles that have a lot of eggs in them, but it's the ikr is, in this case, in the Gemara's case, the ikr was the flour, and that was a problem, because that wasn't pas, that was a bishel. But here, if the ikr is the flour, then we say, well, to the extent that the flour is ikr, this means a pas item, and not a bishel item. So it's governed by the rules of Pas Akum, and then this is Pas Palter, it's fine. Either there's eggs also, but the eggs are a tuffle. You see from our Gemara that Bishol Akum is the only problem if it's the ikr. The tuffle is not an issue. So in the waffles, in the ublez, the eggs are a tuffle, that's not an issue. And the Rush makes it a little clearer what the facts are. He says you have some sort of bread item that has a lot of eggs mixed into it. Egg challah. So that's how the Rush interprets this. Now, and then the Rashba quotes it as well. The Rashba quotes a different provenance. He quotes Rabbeinu Baruch, the Sefer HaTruma, which is a very important Ashkenazi Sefer Halacha, a very early Sefer Halacha of Bali Atosis. Rabbeinu Baruch was, I think Chaim Soloveitchik and Ephraim Orbach both point out, the Ri had four major Talmidim, one of whom was Rabbeinu Baruch. The Ri, in turn, was one of the major Talmidim of his uncle, Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rashba says, look in the Sefer HaTruma, Rabbeinu Baruch quotes it as the position of his uncle, the Ri. Says Rebbe the Ri, it's consistent with the Ri's uncle, Rabbeinu Tam, who held that, point on the side, a little question, what does Rabbeinu Tam say? But certainly the Ri was of the opinion that you could say apply Iker and Tafel, and Egg Challah or waffles are not a problem. You can avoid, you can ignore the eggs. Now, yeah.
I mean, this makes sense. I've heard that in France, like you can eat like a lot of stuff in these non-kosher bakeries because like everything is only you have certain ingredients. As I've heard from people who go to France, someone told me that
I don't know.
That there's like the kosher, like the bottom. France says you could eat from a lot of these bakery stuff.
I don't know what the facts are.
That's what someone told me.
Rabbeinu Tam is making a point, which is rooted in the truth is in the Gemara, that in large part in the Gemara that surrounds, you know, both this Mishnah of the Dvarim that are Asurim Bachila, and the next Mishnah, Dvarim that are Mutarim Bachila. So in addition to the specific issues of Pas, Simakuf Yubez, Bishol, Simakuf Yugimel, Chol v'ngvina, simakuf tazvav, sheichar, beginning of simakuf yudalid, there is the end of simakuf yudalid, deals with the question of non-kosher ingredients in general. So that depends on what the common recipes are in that culture, which is what Rabbeinu Tam is reflecting here as well.
Right.
We know that in our society, in this, you know, in 11th century Germany, we know that no one is cooking or baking with non-kosher eggs.
Right.
It's not. It's the overwhelming rule. Right. I don't know what the facts on the ground are in 21st century France. You have to know. So I say, let's say equivalent for us is unflavored coffee grounds. We're comfortable assuming are not a cautious issue. Again, once the coffee is made in equipment, then you just have to start following the equipment. If it's a flavored coffee, it's a different story. Okay, extra virgin olive oil. Now we know the way it's pressed. We're not concerned about the introduction of non-kosher ingredients. Okay, so in every society, you're gonna have to figure out, you know, what are the facts on the ground with the contemporary food technology, and which items are we confident have no non-kosher ingredients. So you got
is that the same thing with beer?
So if we get to beer, you have to figure out, so how is beer made? And there are different types of beers, and microbreweries may be different, and flavored ales are going to be different. Yeah, got it. Right. That's going to be the question. Now coming back to the Bishul Akum, so that's sort of the Ksimen Kuf Yudalet, the question of knowing which recipes are Bishul Akum sensitive and which are. Let's say look, just another example of that before we come back to Bishul Akum. If you look at the CRC website, they have a very handy list of dried fruits. Which dried fruits require hashgacha and which don't? So certain types of fruits, assuming they're unflavored and domestically produced, so they don't need hashgacha, because we're confident that dried dates that are dried in America that don't list any other ingredients, we're confident that there's no kashrus issue. There are other dried fruits, where even if they're not flavored, do present the kashrus issue and need hashgacha. And again, that's not for Pesach, everything. All the dried fruits in the Ashkach. And now coming back to Bishul Akum. So what Tosus here is just presenting the Sif Beis issue, right? What the Gemara says. You have a food that's a blend of multiple ingredients, so figure out what the Ikar is, and that will determine the stance. Other Rishonim, later Rishonim, have in a second case. You look in the Ritva here, or you look at Haggadah Asheri in the side of the Rosh, they talk about the same case, a second case. They both talk about this new second case, and they both say it's Aser. So in terms of that, they talk about the same scenario. They give the same sock. This is not Mutter. You're not going to be able to make O based on Iker and Tafel. Well, you're not going to be able to make O. What's interesting, there are two significant differences between the Easter of the Ritzvah and the Easter of the Haggadah Asheri, calling the Or Zarua. The first difference is what they call it. The Ritzvah refers to it as Panada. The Haggadah Asheri refers to it as Pashtida. They both mean the same thing. They both are ways of saying pie, meat or fish wrapped in dough. So why is one calling it Panada, the other one is calling it Pashtida? Or in Tosus, in Maseches Beitza, they use yet another term, but similar to the Or Zeruah's Pashtida, they talk about Pastez, Pei, Sin, Tes, Yud, Tzadi. Sounds a lot like pastry or pasta, or pastry or pasta, Pashtida also. Whereas the Ritva's term, Panada, sounds a lot like empanada, because the Ritva was a Sephardi, so he was using the Spanish term. And the Haggadah Asheri and the Tosus, they're Ashkenazim. They're using the French or the German term. You'll find that every once in a while. They do different terms. But when the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, were using the Spanish terminology, and the Ramo were using Germanic or Slavic terminology, because that's where they came from. but the more substantive difference is the following. The Ritva, when he explains why meat pies are a problem. See, he makes it sound like it's all part of this, an application of the same issue. Because he says, look, yeah, he commented this Gemara, and he said that Ma'u detema harsina ikar, kamash malon kimcha ikar. So the Ritva says, what's the Gemara telling me? What's the maskana? Having is that the harsin is the ikar. Maskana is the kimcha ikar. Why would I have thought one, why is it the other? So I would have read the Gemara, stop, like the detail. Which one is this particular food, which one is the ikar? Which says, no, there's a larger categorical question. He says the Gemara is telling you that you don't follow the name. You follow the actual food. Hochen achar iker velo achar Hashem. Which means, it's cool. What's the name of this food? Kasa de Harsina. It's fish stuff, fish kasa. So fish is in the name. So I would have said, look, if that's what it's called, so that must be the iker. Kamash said, no, forget what it is. It doesn't matter what it's called. What's actually the iker? And as a matter of fact, the Tosis Maseches Beitza talks about after fair what bracha you make. And there's a different context he talks about bracha. Actually, let's leave Tosis Beitza aside. But it sounds like you're talking like, what bracha do you make? What bracha do you make? So you have a blend of flour and fish gel. It's probably going to be mizonos. So that's what the ikar is. So the Ritval makes it sound like meat pie also. I said, so that's why this empanada, I have meat wrapped in dough. So same thing. It sounds like the dough is the ikar. The Haggadah Asher, according to Arzarua, that's Haggadah Asher in the little letters on the side of the Rosh Simon's Chavtes, Pashtir Shadag Mishafa Ua Akum. Aser, he says, why is it Aser? Not because he says the dough, he's assuming lactosis. Look, there's room to make on the dough. He says, but if I had eggs blended into the dough, so then I say the dough is the ikker, the eggs are tough. But if I have fish, not blended in, not pureed and blended into the flour, I have a fish filling surrounded by dough. I have a pie, a fish pie. So he says, I don't say that the fish is tafel. There is no ikar and tafel, he says. Ikar and tafel, that's when you have a single blended item. But here I have separate pieces. So there's dough and there's fish. So the fish is be'en. So it stands on its own 2 feet. When the non-Jew takes the fish pie and dumps it in the oven, he says, so the fish becomes treif. Fish becomes bishalakam. The fish becomes bishalakam. So this is a new issue. And that's something that Tosas themselves, they don't point it out here. Tosas here in Avozar is very short. They send you the bond, they say, and look at Tosas and Chulin, and Tosas and Beitza. Tosas and Chulin and Beitza both make this point. Say, only if it's blended. But if it's not a blended item, if it's different pieces, I have a fish pie with a filling, or I have pizza with topping, or the Rashba gives the example of beef and broccoli, not blended into one puree. I have chunks, like Chinese beef and broccoli. Beef and broccoli. So he says, it's true that broccoli is not bishlakum susceptible, but beef is. So forget about ikar and tafel. Regular way, we have beef and broccoli, it's 50-50 or so. So he said, the beef is clearly the ikar. But even if you have, it's basically a lot of broccoli sprinkled with meat. So the Rishonim say, the Baliatos, the Tosus and Beitz, the Tosus in Chulin, and the Hagas Ashri here, and the Raja, they say the separate item becomes Aser independently, everything for itself. So number one, that separate item becomes Treif. And then they go on to say, and the Ran makes this point at length, they say, and then not only do the chunks of meat become Treif, or the chunks of fish, but then there's a second, and you don't say it's tuffle to the dough, because tuffle only helps you when it's blended. So not only that, but now ironically, the dough will become treif too. Why? Because baleya. Because now, as the fish, once the fish is cooked enough, it passes the macha ben drusai line, now the fish became treif. And now it continues to cook. And now it's treif for fish. And it's oozing out, it's now treif for juices into the dough. So now everything is treif. Let's say I have pizza, going back to the pizza. So the dough is pas. Okay. But that's not going to help me for anything on top of the dough because it's not blended. The fact that there maybe there's some eggs in the dough recipe, okay, sorry, if that's all blended, so that's tuffle to the flour. But the toppings, the cheese and the sauce, that's the dough is not going to help me. Okay, now cheese is not a problem because it's nechal chai. Tomato sauce, so tomatoes are nechal chai. Either maybe other ingredients in the tomato sauce, that's probably all ma'urav. That's probably all blended together, depending on how the sauce is made. Maybe basically everything else, the bits of onion and garlic, they disintegrated into the sauce. So that's all blended together. So the ikar is the tomatoes. Tomatoes are not bishlak and probably not chai shayin. Tomato sauce is fine. Besides the fact, anyways, that the tomato sauce was already cooked. It was already pre-cooked. The nachri is not cooking it. So it's nechal. Tomato sauce is nechal chai. But even if the nachri made the tomato sauce, but let's say it's not just a cheese pizza, but it's a pizza with toppings. And now you have to really start figuring out, well, the topping is the issue. So let's say it's eggplant. So the nachri put on raw eggplant on the pizza. So that eggplant is eon echachai. It may be also chumachem. So once it cooks enough in the oven, that it's considered to be mavushal, so now it became a shtick treif. And then it continues to ooze. So now is the eggplant treif, and it makes the pizza treif also. So that's what these rishonim say, and that's what says Shulchan Aruch. That's Sif Gimel. Sif Beis was the case the Gemara has, because the harshman is all blended. Sif Gimel was a panada. Mechaber is using the word panada because he is Sardi. Panada shafa akum asura. Even those who are makel on Paschal Goyim, because here, if it's a pie, if it's a panada, so the shuman is nesar, the fat in the middle, whatever fatty item you have, the fish, the meat, that does become treif. You don't say it's tafel, why? Because it's the end, because it's a separate item. That becomes treif als bishalakum. And then nivel a pas. And then it continues to cook, and its flavor is absorbed into bread. Or, the Rashba's case, yirakos and achalim chayim. I have vegetables which would be eaten raw, but bishlam and basar. Beef and carrots, beef and broccoli, beef and zucchini. Asurim, teshashum, shal basar, nivla bohem. Now, what's interesting about this is the following. What's interesting is the following. If you look in the Sfardi Rishonim, you look in the Rashba, you look in the Ritva, you look in the Ran, after they talk about this case of the egg waffles, they then say, oh, now let's talk about something. Another issue, let's say you had a bishalakam catastrophe in your kitchen. What do you do with the kalim? The food's going to go in the garbage. Right? The Nachri or Nachris wanted to do you a favor and surprise you with your favorite type of Spanish omelet, which was, the intention was wonderful. Very sweet. Thank you. It's the thought that counts, which is good, because the thought is nice. The food is treif. Spanish omelet, that's a real bishalakim problem. Again, even if the filling may be items which are nechal chai, yeah, but the eggs are not, and the time of the eggs went into the... Okay. So then they start, the Rishon start humming. Okay, well, how about the pan? The kasha of the pan or not? So, interesting that they transition to that. And the Ritva just sort of ends with that. But the Rashba and the Ran, after moving from the kasha d'harsana to the kalim, they then circle back. The Rashba says, yeah, you got a kasha of the kalim. And then he circles back to quote this discussion we've been having, the Sif Gimel discussion, Rabbeinu Baruch and the Ri, about the panada and the pashtida and the pies. Are they circling back? Well, what do they have to do with the kalim? Because the way the Bali Atosis we've seen so far present the meat pie, the fish pie, they say it's all treif. Two steps. Step one, the fish and the meat becomes treif, because since it's be'en, it's not blended in, so you don't apply ikar and tafel. And then step two, now that the meat or fish became treif, as it continues to cook, so the grease gets absorbed, the flavor gets absorbed into the dough, now the dough is treif also. So that first step is a comment on Sif Beis. Right? The Sif Gimel is an exception to Sif Beis. The whole idea of Kasa Daharis and following the Iker, that's only if it's blended. Not blended, not. Okay. But then the second step, that now that the filling is treif, it makes a dough treif, that's based on assumption that you say Tom Kicker. That's based on assumption that you say Tom Kicker. Is that obvious? So most of the Bali Tosas just sort of say it. The truth is, I mentioned that Tosas and Avodah Zarah, they send you to look at Tosas and Chulin and Tosas and Beitza. The Tosas and Chulin already adds this issue of the pie. Tosas and Beitza adds a second issue, which is, they say, well, so the center became treif, and then the dough, Tosas says, well, some say that the dough is treif, and others say no. You know, you have to scrape off whatever grease is on the surface, but then below that, you can eat the rest of the dough.
Even if there's bleed?
Exactly. In other words, Tosas is raising the machlokas. Up until now, we've only seen one day, which is, you know, Tom of Bishul Akam is treif. Tosas and Beitza, as Ray pointed out, well, there were Bali Atosas who disagreed and apparently held no. The filling is treif, the fish or the meat is treif. If there's any goo or grease that's floating on the surface of the dough, obviously you have to scrape that off. But once you scrape that off, the fact that the dough itself absorbed flavor is irrelevant. So and Tosas and Beitza is just like a one-liner. Mamish, it's a long Tosas. You can easily miss that line near the end. It's harder to miss it when you get to the Rashba. The Rashba wrote Torah Sabayis, and his peer, the Ra'ah, they were both the Rashba and the Ra'ah, were they lived at the same time, and they were the two Gedolim of Sfard of the time, and they were the two premier, probably two of the premier, Talmidim of the Ramban and Ben Yonah. Ramban and Ben Yonah, and then Rashba Ra'ah, and their most famous Talmud was the Ritva. Ritva is actually primarily the Talmud of the Ra'ah, and also the Rashba. He'll refer to the Rashba as Mori HaRashba. He'll refer to the Ra'ah just as Mori. Like, not my Rebbe is Ra'ah, but he'll also refer to the Rashba as my Rebbe the Rashba. So this is a Machlokas Rashba Ra'ah. Well, again, it's Machlokas Bali Tosas already, Masechus Beitza. And it's Machlokas Rashba Ra'ah on the page of the Torah Sabayis. Rashba Torah Sabayis says, yeah, Tom Kicker, it's a problem. It's a problem. The Kalim have to be re-kashered. Has to be kashered if possible. And a frying pan is not so simple to kasher. You may have to throw it out. And the what's it called? The dough, the crust of the pies was boleya, the flavor of the center, and has to be thrown out, according to Rashba. And the Ra'ah disagrees on both points. He says, no, the dough is kosher, and the pots are kosher. The pots and pans are kosher. This is going to be the next move. What we saw so far is fascinating lachal maisa, but the multi-ingredient foods. Again, if multi-ingredient food, just to put it all together, and then we'll talk about where we're going next from here. Multi-ingredient foods, the Gemara says, you follow Iker. You follow Iker. Lachal achmer. But we show him to say, you follow Iker only if it's blended. If it's not blended, so then each one is on its own. If any one chunk is Bishul Akam sensitive, it becomes Aser Al Bishul Akam. And then most Bali Atosfos and the Rashba say, and then that treif a chunk turns around and subsequently treifs up everything else because of Tom Kicker. However, the other day in Tosas and Beitza and Ra'ah say, no such thing as Tom Kicker. No such thing as Tom Kicker. So we're going to pick up with that point, Mirtz Hashem, next time. Because the question of Tom Kicker is a practical question, and it does come up. And there was a Bishlachim catastrophe. He said, do you have to kasher kalim? Throw out kalim? No, the food has to be thrown out, but the kalim are, just clean them, clean the surface and they're kosher. And which is already fascinating and strange, and we all sort of intuited it. He said, well, Tom Kicker, we learn Bas Machalos over here. Tom Kicker is the half-base of Machalos Asuras. So what would drive this day in Tosfos and the Ra'ah to say, no, Tom, what do you mean ignore Tom Kicker? What does that mean? Well, Tom Kicker, that's a rule that cuts through all of Machalos Asuras. How do you ignore Tom Kicker? So that's conceptually an issue. Yeah.
Gevaldik.
That's where we're gonna see is what the Ra'ah says is the concern of chasnas. So a piece of fish, that's chasnas. But the flavor of fish that's absorbed in the wall of my pot, that's not socially attractive. That's not al shalchum. That's not socially attractive. The flavor of fish that's absorbed into pie crust, that's not a concern of chassis. A piece of fish is a concern of chassis. A piece of meat, an egg, a grilled eggplant is a concern of chassis. But the flavor of eggplant that got into the carrots, right. And we'll see next time, Ritz Hashem, that this is perhaps a larger machlok between the Rajma and the Ra'ah. The question of to what extent does the Tama Takana play into the rules? Because this is a radical statement by this one day in Tosfos and Beitza. Really? The din only applies when the reason applies? I mean, we don't say Laplug? I was going to say Laplug. Whatever Chazal's rationale, whatever the motivation was for the Takana was, whatever Tama Takana is, we usually assume that the Tama Takana doesn't regulate the application of the Takana. Chazal made the Takana for a reason, but once the Takana exists, it has independent legal life, independent of whatever its origin story is. This is Chazal created Nisr and Bishlakim. This is Bishlakim's trait. Chazal created Nisr and Muktzah. Now Muktzah is also. So the Ra'ah is fascinating. And ought to have other Nafkaminas as well. Now that's a pretty. Talk of Iker itself is a big issue, but it's just one example. You would imagine there'll be other scenarios also where technically speaking is Bishal Akum, but it doesn't seem like the rationale applies. So we're going to see, we have to explore. Is the Ra'ah consistent on these issues? Is the Rajba consistent? How many issues are there? How many Afghanis are there? How many different scenarios are there where, well, in theory it's Bishal Akum, but really this sort of funny case, there's not a concern of chasnas. And will it be the case that the Rajba consistently says Lopug? Will it be the case that the Ra'ah consistently says plug? That when the Talmud Takana doesn't apply, then the Din doesn't apply. We're going to have to explore. We'll have to see what an Afghan means, and there are several. And we'll have to see, are the Rajba and the Ra'ah consistent or not? And if not, why? That's where we're headed next time. And that's why Siv Dalet follows Siv Gimel. So dollars are bought, it seems to be an unrelated issue of who constitutes, who qualifies as a guy for the purpose of Bishal Akum. That maybe could have appeared later in the Siman. It's here in part because the Rishonim put it together, because we'll see that one of the issues that drives the discussion of who qualifies as a Nachri for Bishal Nachrim, the question is, are we driven by the Tama Takana, or are we just driven by general categories? This Machlokas Raj Ra'ah. We're going to see it's going to come up at the end of the very last sif, the very end of the siman. So Mirtz Hashem, over the next day or two, Gli Neder, put out the next set of Maram Kamos, will take us to Si'ifim, the next sif and the last sif. So Sif Dalid and Sif Tes Zayin, which, by the way, also, while Beis and Gimel are Beis and Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch, at the opposite end of the siman, Sif Tes Zayin, in the tour, as you saw, Sifim Beis and Gimel appear at the very end. The last few Sifim are Sif Beis, or the way the new Torah prints it, to give you the correspondence. What corresponds to Sif Beis, to Sif Gimel, and to Sif Tazayin are together at the end of the Siman in the Torah. Because again, conceptually, they're connected issues, different nafkaminas in this question of the role what role, if any, does the Tama Takana play in the practical application of the din? So this discussion about multi-ingredient foods, it starts in Gemara, and the Rishon discuss how far you expand it. And while on the one hand it's rooted in sort of the specific opening question here, the first couple of Se'ifim of which foods are Bishul Akum sensitive, at the same time it opens larger questions in other dimensions also, in terms of the relationship, if any, between the Tamat HaTakana and the Pirtet HaTakana.